I could get used to that. Well, good morning. My name is Ben Dew, and I have the honor and privilege of being the campus and youth pastor here at Every Nation Tallahassee. We are so glad to have you this morning. And like Pastor Ron alluded to, we are going to be talking about the body of Christ today. The body of Christ. Now, let's just get something out of the way. When we talk about the body of Christ, we're not talking about the physical body of Christ. This is called an analogy, okay? So we're going to use an analogy that it's not the actual body of Christ, it is an analogy. And in the Bible, Paul the Apostle uses the body of Christ. He says the church is the body of Christ. Now the body, as we know, is a container. If you look at me right now, I have a body. Ashley says, praise God. And inside, there is a spirit, right? Or a soul, right? There's something inside me, right? So my body is my container, but there's contents inside my body, okay? So when in the Bible it talks about the body of Christ, it's talking about the container that the Spirit of God, that the power of God dwells here on earth. And that when we come together as the body of Christ, we can form a perfect container for the power, the presence, and the mission of Jesus to the earth. Isn't that good? All right, so we're going to talk about that today, but first, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this subject. Father, I pray that you would anoint this message, Lord, that I wouldn't go too long and that I would be right on the point that you want to speak. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. Father, that you would even reveal and identify what part of this body that we're meant to play. And then help us, give us the strategy to plug ourselves in or get plugged into the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I remember when I was growing up in New Zealand on the mission field. My dad is obviously still a minister, but we grew up in New Zealand. And I remember we used to have a basketball goal in the driveway. And I shared about this a couple weeks ago. But my dad and our family, we would have a lot of college students over and they would play games of pickup basketball. And I was like maybe 8, 9, 10 years old and I'd always want to play. Okay, so I'm 10 and they're all 19, 20, 24, 25 guys playing out there and I always wanted to play. And I remember one afternoon, I said, okay, Ben, you can play. And I remember getting out there and at 10 years old, I remember very vividly thinking, I am not the same as these other guys. There's a drop off in skill, athleticism between them and me, right? And I think I've also been to churches where I walk in and I feel I'm not in the right place. I don't feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And maybe someone made me feel like that. Or maybe internally, I made myself feel like that. But that is not the situation. That is not the church that God has called us to as believers. God has called us to the exact, perfect body of Christ. We are born into a physical family, but we are also born into a spiritual family, which is the church. Yes. And that church that God has called you to, there is a fitting, a perfect fitting for you. Now, praise God, many of you in this room, this is the body that God has called you to. Some of you, this is not the body that God's called you to. So we're not trying to just recruit as many body parts as we can get. We want the right ones that God has called. And I tell people when I meet with them during the week is, you don't have to come to our church. You don't have to come to our Bible study. I want you to hear from God and be part of the body that God has called you to. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, so let's get in the scripture. So our first scripture, kind of our main text, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is going to be verse 12 through 31. Are we ready?
Yes.
And I encourage you, please get your phone out. We have blue Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. Please get in the Word of God. Get used to the Word of God. We love the Word of God in this body.
Amen.
So verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Yeah. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Okay, just a really, really small note here. Isn't it interesting that the foot is speaking to the hand, right? That's very interesting. It's within the body. There's a conversation within the body. We'll be back to that. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable or essential, much needed. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no such special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. No division in the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So this chapter, the context of this chapter, is Paul's actually speaking about spiritual gifts. Okay, so if you read the first part of chapter 12, and then into chapter 13, it's about spiritual gifts. And he's talking about the diversity of spiritual gifts that we receive from God, but it's one spirit for one purpose, for unity to glorify God. That's what he's talking about, okay? In this last part, when he talks about tongues, he's not speaking about our heavenly language. He's speaking about tongues that are meant to be interpreted or other languages, okay? So that's just a small clarification there. Okay, so let's talk about a couple points in this and a couple things I think the Lord wants to encourage us with. Okay, so big recap real quick. We are the body of Christ. Yes. Every person sitting in this room yes. is a part of the body of Christ. Yes. That God has called you not just to be saved and watch TV and be happy, but actually to serve a function, an essential function in the body of Christ. Yes. Okay? And how many people know I've been to churches before where it seems like everyone in the church is an elbow, right? And if you're not an elbow, they don't want you there. And they only recruit other elbows, right? The real church of God is supposed to be super diverse. There's unity in diversity, that you have feet and hands and eyes and ears and a chest. And I think Pastor Ron's probably the six-pack of the body of Christ, but, you know, anyway. But so God's called us to a diversity, right? And some people, let's say if you're a nose, just a hypothetical, like a nose in the body of Christ, God's called you to be a nose. Praise the Lord. You're called to be a nose. Okay? If you go and search for a church full of noses, you're not actually the body of Christ. You're just all the same giftings, all the same parts of the body together. Now, Pastor Ron talked about this last week. He said, if a member of the body, like if my hand was detached from my body and set over there, and let's say it was put on a pile of other hands, that's not a good thing. We shouldn't be like, wow, look at all the hands. Look how many hands in Tallahassee have gathered together. Look at all the hands there. No, it's a horror show. It's terrifying. It's terrible, right? So the hand is not amazing by itself. The hand only has use and function when it's connected and part of the body.
Yes.
Okay. So, point number one, you do not decide what body part you are. You do not decide what body part you are. And we don't have time to get into it today, but I do think that, obviously, this is not the perfect analogy because we're people, we're not actually just body parts. So we grow and we change and we mature. And I know when I was 12 years old, I wasn't called to preach. But now at 29, I am called to preach. So I know that there's a maturation that happens, there's a development that happens, but we do not pick the part of the body that we are. I know many knees that really want to be eyeballs. Yeah. They really want to be eyeballs. And they will go to churches till someone will misidentify them as an eyeball. They'll even start ministries so that they can be the eyeball when God has called them to be the knee. You do not identify the body part that you are. And I'm really glad, because we would do a terrible job of doing this. It is the Lord God Almighty who saved you, defines you. And He decides not only what body you're a part of, but what part of that body you're supposed to be. Does this make sense? Okay, so when Paul says, earnestly desire the gifts, he says that multiple times in Scripture. He's not saying that the more you desire and the more you work, you can actually change the destiny that God has for you. He's not saying that. What he's really saying is he's saying desire to be more beneficial to the body. Yeah. Be more beneficial to the body. And there's a lot of, it's actually quite comical, but there's a lot of misidentity in the church and people defining themselves or pastors or leaders misidentifying people, right? It's the Lord that identifies. And I do think He gives wisdom to leaders and wisdom to disciplers and wisdom to you, what your body part is. But I didn't know what my role is until my dad called it out of me, other pastors called it out of me, my friends and peers called it out of me, and the people I was discipling called it out of me. Does this make sense? It wasn't one day I woke up and said, I'm gonna be a pastor. No, it was Pastor Ron saw that all my life. Dad saw that all my life. The elder board here saw that all my life. I was ordained in the church. Why? Because they saw it, and the Holy Spirit has called me in this moment of my life to be a minister. Right? Does that make sense? So I did not pick this. I did not choose this. Right? Okay. Now, when I played football at the University of Hawaii and then at the University of Houston. And when I played football, I was a large lad. Well, I've always been a large lad. I've been a big boy. Okay? And when I went to the University of Hawaii as a freshman, I was, 6'4", what I am now, and I came in weighing 315 pounds as a freshman. Now, what I did not do is walk up to my head coach and say, "Hey, coach, guess what? You recruited me as an offensive lineman, which is really the only position I can play, but I want to play wide receiver. I want to play wide receiver," right? No player does that. Now, there are some players who can play different positions, but that was not me. I was built and bred for a specific role, which was blocking and getting in people's way and pushing people and hurting people. That was what I was bred to do. And the thing was, I did not get to identify myself. It did not matter what I wanted to be. The truth was my skill set, my strengths, and my weaknesses all showed that I was an offensive lineman. Now, if I had refused to play offensive line, then I could not have played Division I football. I couldn't have done it, right? But it came from the identification of others that gave me the role, and I was, praise God, an average or a little bit above average offensive lineman. We beat Florida State, that's all that matters. But here we go. So, it's your history, not mine. Praise God. No. But the truth is, if I had said, I refuse to play my role, I refuse to do what I'm called to do, then I could never have reached the level that I reached playing football. And there's a lot of us in the church today because we are trying to identify ourselves and we're not letting anyone else have any input, or we're not letting the Holy Spirit identify us or tell us what body to be a part of or what role we're supposed to play. We will never reach the potential that God has called us to reach. God identifies us. We do not identify us. And the truth is, like Paul says, he says, just because the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of this body. Right? Yeah. I'm sure he was speaking about church members saying, if I can't preach, or if I can't lead this, or if we don't do this ministry, or if we don't do it this way, or if we don't change the carpet this color, we don't do this or do that or do this, then I'm leaving this church. Uh-huh. He's saying you can't do that. God has called you to a specific body. Yeah. The foot cannot cut itself from my body, no matter what it wants to do. It cannot. It can't do it. Right? And the other really, really cool thing is that there's no two body parts that are exactly alike. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what it says. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. Yes, we do. Yes. We need every body part that God has called. Yes. We need every body part, which leads into my second point, yes. Is you are essential. You are essential. Mm-hmm. Yes. We need you. God's plan for every nation, Tallahassee, has you in it. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Before you were even born, God knew what physical family and what spiritual family he was going to birth you into, and he put you a part of a body of Christ so that we could change the world. We could be the container to house and host Jesus, the power and the spirit of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yes. And you are essential. So you can't say, wow, this church doesn't have, you know, this ministry, or this church doesn't do that. No, no, no. Ask God, what church have you called me to? What role have you called me to play? And what's really important is a lot of the roles, the body parts of the church, don't get highlighted on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of the body parts of the church, they are all stars Monday through Saturday. Right. A lot of the most important, essential functions of the church do not happen on Sunday morning. I need you to hear this. Yeah. So if a church just becomes a Sunday morning, then it's not really the body. Right. It's just one part of the body, right? We need every single one of you. If God has called you here, because you are essential. Yes. You are essential. Yes. We need you. Does that feel good to be needed?
Amen.
Okay, I got a funny meme. So a meme is a picture with words. Don't show it yet. Don't show it yet. A meme is a picture with some words. Okay, so when COVID happened back March 2020, there was the federal government deemed two classes of workers, essential, non-essential. So I fell into the non-essential work class. But there was like, it was like non-essential, you stay home, you watch Netflix and get fat, and then the essential ones, go and save the world, please. Like, please go to hospitals, you know, do it. Like, please, you're essential. And so I thought this funny meme, if you could show it. It says, when a non-essential tries to talk to you. No, you know, I'm a doctor. But the truth is, God has called us all. Isaac, that's funny. You can laugh, man. Come on. It's so funny. It says, so God says, listen, you all are essential. Yeah. You're all essential. There are no non-essential people in the body of Christ. So, but here's a big problem, though. And I've been guilty of this myself, is sometimes I will, churches will, we will treat each other as non-essential.
Yeah.
That's a big mistake.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's where a lot of church hurt comes from, is you walk into a church that God calls you to, and you're not treated like you are the essential part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Or maybe you've been misidentified, or you misidentified yourself, and your misidentification makes you being treated like you're non-essential, but you are essential. We need you. But we don't need hands being feet. We need hands being hands and feet being feet.
Yes.
So let's clarify this one step. You are essential when you are in the role and the function that God has called you to. When properly identified, you are essential. Does that make sense? Okay. So, it's funny, you know, you see some churches where, you know, the hands want to be feet, the feet want to be hands, and that's why a lot of the churches just literally crawl through life. They just crawl through and they don't have the power, they don't do the things that God calls them to do, or we don't do the things that God calls us to do, because we have misidentified hands that think we're, or misidentified body parts, but we're all essential. We're all essential. All right, point number three. Jesus values all parts equally. Jesus values all parts equally. That's really good. And when Jesus values you, it's speaking about identity. That's got to be the bedrock of our identity, is the value that Jesus puts on us. And if you have insecurity, identity problems, I can almost guarantee you that it's because you are devaluing yourself. You are not believing what the Lord has said about you.
Wow.
That's a really good point, guys. This is really going to set you guys. Come on, this blew my mind. Wow.
Say it again.
Yeah. Our identity has to come by the identity that Jesus puts on us. That's where our value comes from. And when we devalue ourselves or misidentify ourselves, and we move out of what the Lord says about us, that's where insecurity, shame, and guilt comes from.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, I got a little bit of time, so I'm going to do a little sidetrack here. In the garden with Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. right? When they sinned, when they ate of the fruit, right? Which stood for the knowledge of good and evil, which in today's context means deciding what's right and wrong. They said, God, we don't need you as God, we'll be God. I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. You said eating the fruit's bad. I'm God now. I eat the fruit. As soon as they became their own gods, they looked at themselves and said, I will never measure up. I'm naked. And shame entered the world. So shame is not because, you know, it doesn't come from other people, funnily enough. Shame always comes from ourselves. So as the body of Christ, we must value ourselves. If God has called you to whatever ministry or whatever, if he calls you to children's ministry or greeting or preaching or sound or being on stage or security or leading a small group or going on campus evangelizing, whatever God has called you to, or even just taking time to be a good mother or father or wherever the Lord has called you to and puts you in the body of Christ, and even if it's just the ministry of presence, there's some people that when you show up, the atmosphere changes. And when you devalue yourself and think, well, I'm not actually making disciples, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I must have no value, you actually take away from the whole body. And when you don't show up, church does not feel the same. Jesus values all parts equally. And I'm so glad he does, lest no man should boast. All right, another story. So from 8 years old to 18, I grew up in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. It's down by Australia. It's the other side of the world. It's very different than Tallahassee, Florida. So it's a little different, okay? That's safe to say. It's very different. And one of the funniest things was their attraction meter is very different than in America. Different places around the world, different things are super attractive. And in New Zealand, the best looking men that they had were skinnier, darker hair, and more like exotic complexion. So Paul Donaldson, stand up real quick. So this would be the hottest man in New Zealand right here. This is Paul, if you get a chance, please do yourself a favor. But Paul would be the hottest man in New Zealand. No joke. I'm not even joking. You can ask my sisters. It's crazy. And so I was a big boy, a large lad, and I was not the hottest man in New Zealand growing up. And so over in New Zealand, I was, you know, a lot of the big people were not white. They were Polynesian. And I was like the only big white dude. And it was, I felt so out of place. I'd walk around the mall. I couldn't buy any clothes. And like at 14 years old, I couldn't even fit in their 2X. They're two extra like larges. It was, I was like, this is crazy. It's like European sizes. It was nuts. And I felt so out of place, so insecure. And what happened was I devalued myself. I let the culture and what people said about me and their expectations, I took their value for my life over what God said about me. And it was amazing when I moved. Actually, I noticed when I moved to Hawaii, but when I moved to Texas, I really noticed that they love big boys in Texas. I was like, I'm home. I was like, oh yeah, here we go. You know, I was like, I'm cute in Texas. So, you know, I'm a little snack in Texas. But it was so funny. I was like, that's so crazy. But the truth was my value had remained the same, but it was the value I placed on myself. I was devaluing myself, yes. Right? And then the Lord took that a step further and said, Ben, listen, you'll never actually be attractive enough in your own eyes. You'll never be fit enough. You'll never be skinny enough. You'll never be muscular enough. You have to let me define you. Good. And when I did that, the Lord just set me free. And really let me say, you know what, I value myself, not because how I feel, but what God says about me. Yeah. And there's many of you in here that this is not just in context of the body of Christ, but God is going to say to some of you in here, it's time to start believing what I say about you. Good. And not just believing it, but acting like you believe it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe the Word of God, but they don't act like it. You know, I was talking to, I think it was maybe you, Isaac. I was talking to a guy and said, could you imagine if we just even acted out 3% of our Bible knowledge? Like, could you imagine if I actually lived like Jesus loved me? Mm-hmm. Like, if I actually lived every decision I made, I acted like God actually loved me. Mm-hmm. I would not hold any grudges. I would be the happiest man in the world. Yeah. Or when God says, you know, treat others better than you treat yourself, or treat others the way you want to be treated. Do you know what that really looks like? Yeah. I would give everything I had to people. Yeah. Why? Because that's the way I actually want to be treated. Yeah. I would make a throne and put people on it and bring them snacks, and I would honor people and call them and love. I'd give everything I have. I'd become a servant. Why? Because that's actually the way I want to be treated. Mm-hmm. So we don't even really act out like 1% of what we really know. And a lot of my freedom came not from, oh, I read the right verse. No, it was I applied and said, God, you love me. I'm going to live like you love me. Good. You've actually forgiven me from my sins. I'm going to live like you've forgiven me from my sins. I'm going to live like it. I'm going to pretend the Bible's true. I'm going to live like it. Yes. It changed my life. And the Bible is true. I don't have to pretend. Good. Okay. Number 4. Glorifying Jesus should be the goal. Yeah. Glorifying Jesus should be the goal. Yeah. Now, the body is not to glorify itself. It's not to glorify a certain part of the body. It's to glorify Jesus. And I know we've all seen, or maybe experienced, or maybe you haven't, but I have, people, parts of the body of Christ, that they're playing their role, but they really care more about their glory than glorifying Jesus. And the truth is, we are supposed to come together in unity. Why? Not to just, wow, we're a great functioning church, and we're super successful, and we got all the body parts working in order. No, we're supposed to glorify Jesus. We're supposed to glorify God, and that has to be the heart behind accepting our role. The truth is, we will never accept the role God has called us to play unless we first realize we must glorify Him with that role. Yes. Because if we're not glorifying Jesus, then we should all want to be the places of honor. We should all want to be the head. No one, I don't want to be the spleen. I don't want to be the belly button. I want to be the eyes and the chin or the biceps, right? But when we glorify God, we can say, okay, God, I'm going to glorify you. You say I'm the belly button, so I'm going to be the best belly button that's ever lived for your glory. And you know what's really cool is when you go to a church that has, let's say, a knee. Here, let's, for all of our visual learners, let's say a knee, okay? When you go to a church that there's a really well-functioning knee, like let's say someone's in kids' church, and they know that God has called them to Kids Church. And they eat and sleep and drink Kids Church. And they're just like the knee of God. And they're just like, we're doing it. We are knee. We're bending. We're kicking. We are the knee, right? It's so excellent. It's so refreshing. Like, it inspires me. I've been to churches where people are like, I am the greeter, the elbow of the century. Like, I'm here. Are you greeted? Like, praise Jesus. And it's like, it's like, wow, it's amazing, right? And so you can do any role that God calls you to as long as you know it's for Jesus' glory. And you can do it with excellence and enthusiasm. And that's one of the things that our culture has been sucking away from everyone, but really the people of God, is passion and enthusiasm. I love enthusiastic people. So funny. Ashley was so hilarious. I was watching you play keys today. And part of the song, you were just bobbing your head and anyway, she was enthusiastic, right? And so God has called us to be enthusiastically the body part that God has called us to be in the body, the church, that God has called us to. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
And we can only accept our role. Why? Because Jesus values me. My identity is in him. I'm not going to devalue myself. I am essential. And at the end of the day, it's for the glory of God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So let's change gears here a little bit, and let's look at one of the enemies of this. So obviously we have enemies outside the church. Okay, we have obviously, you know, Satan, we have demonic forces, we have, you know, mainstream media, whatever is trying to pull us away from God, right? If you haven't figured that out, that's what I'm here to tell you. Like, there's an enemy out there, okay? But there's also an enemy within. And the body, when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 12, he was talking about comparison and problems within the body. Hand saying to foot, eye saying to ear, okay? So I got a scripture for you. It's Matthew 7:15. It says, "Watch out for false prophets who put on sheep's clothing, but secretly are ferocious wolves." Ferocious wolves.
Yes.
Now, this is very interesting.
Yes.
Let me tell you what the scripture does not say. It doesn't say, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in shepherd's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. He says sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. Now, what does the word pastor mean? Pastor actually means shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the math this morning, and I've probably been to 60-plus different churches in my life, and I probably go to church about 50 times a year, and I've been to, you know, multiple services. So I've probably been to a church service probably 2,000-plus times, like 2,000-plus church services. And maybe on one hand, I can count the times where the pastor was just a wolf. Most of the time that I experience this scripture, it's the sheep that are hiding as wolves. It got real quiet in here. But this is true. So when God calls leaders in the church to care for and love for people, most times, 99% of the times, the pastor's really going to try to do his best job. But the gossip, the slander, the accusation, the misidentification, the backstabbing actually happens within the pews. And so, and you know the truth is, on stage, I could probably do some damage right here. Like, I could probably say some crazy hairs, so I could do some damage. But you know what? I could do more damage when I'm doing life with you and I'm sowing little deceit, or I'm just saying little things or gossiping or make little accusations. I could probably do more damage that way. And so we have to be very careful that we look out for people who aren't called to be part of our body, but creep in, and they look like sheep, but they're really wolves. And they want to destroy what God's doing. They want to misidentify you. They want to devalue you, right? They want to make it not about glorifying Jesus, but glorifying yourself. We have to look out. The wolves are among us. We've got a good shepherd, which is Jesus. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A perverse person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates close friends. I tell my guys this who I disciple. I tell them, I said, listen, I have zero friends that don't lead me closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Zero. Amen. I'll hang out with you. I might get a coffee with you. We can go through the one-to-one, the prayer book. But you will never be my friend or be my confidant unless you're leading me closer to Jesus.
Yes.
Right? And the truth is that I have definitely, this is not, oh, look, I'm not this, you're this. It's, I've definitely been a perverse person. I've definitely stirred up conflict in the church. I've done that. And I have to repent and say, God, I'm so sorry for saying things and causing situations and, you know, really more when I was a church member, not so much here, but back in Houston and in Hawaii and New Zealand. And then a gossip separates close friends. Gossip is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And in our ENC staff, we have a rule. If you are not, that's not the rule. If you are not part of the solution, don't bring up a problem. So if you have a problem with the way something done, but you cannot help the situation, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. Don't tell me about this if you can't do anything about it,
yeah.
Right? Oh, you think there's too much trash in the parking lot? Congratulations, you just signed up. You're taking up the trash in the parking lot. Okay? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And this is a favorite in the Dew household. But there are six things the Lord hates, yet seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers or a community. You know what the Lord hates more than adultery? Someone who spreads strife in a community. That's what the Bible says. The Lord hates that. It's detestable to him. It's an abomination. He hates when people spread discord. And a lot of times, I mean, I think everyone in this room would be like, you know, I really don't want to be a wolf. I don't want to spread discord. I don't want to be detested by the Lord. I think we can all sign up for that, right? Yeah. So a lot of times, I'll notice myself starting to do it, and I'll have to like, no, I can't do that. Does that make sense? So it's more of sometimes I'll accidentally start becoming a wolf. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Lord, forgive me. Help me. What's really going on here? And a lot of times, it's because I have not valued my gift. It's because I have not received that I'm essential by the Lord, and I am really not trying to glorify God. I'm trying to glorify myself.
Yeah.
And that's where that wolf-like thing comes out. All right, I got a great quote for you. It's from the greatest movie ever made by the greatest football coach ever. Don't put up yet. And the greatest high school football team that ever had been assembled. And the greatest mascot of all time. It's from Remember the Titans. And this is Coach Herman Boone. If you haven't seen Remember the Titans, you have to. I think most of our cultural, social issues would be solved if we just all sat down and watched Remember the Titans together.
Yeah.
Coach Herman Boone. So, he is an African-American coach at a traditionally white school. Don't put it up yet. He's an African-American coach in a traditionally white school that has just taken on segregation. And as the coach, they have half of their players are African-American and half of their players are white. And obviously, there's a little bit of strife there, okay? And they're in the middle of camp. They're about to go into camp. And he wakes them all up at an ungodly hour in the morning. And he runs them in Pennsylvania all the way to Gettysburg. Now, if you don't know, Gettysburg is the most bloody battlefield on American soil. Thousands and thousands and thousands of predominantly white soldiers died in the Civil War, right? And what did they die for? They died so that we could have a nation where what it says in the Constitution is actually lived out, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
And this is what Coach Herman Boone said. He said, if we don't come together right now on this hallowed ground, we too will be destroyed, just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men. And that's the same call for us as a society, but also in the church. Is listen, hopefully on this hallowed ground, in this place of God that God has brought us to, he saved us, that if we can lay aside our differences, and you don't have to like each other, but you have to respect each other as parts of the body of Christ. And if we can accept the roles and the function that God has called us to, then maybe, just maybe, we can be the body of Christ and house the Holy Spirit and house the purposes, the plan, and the mission of Jesus and be his hands and feet to Tallahassee, Florida. Yes. That's what can happen if we say, I'll lay aside my differences. I'll lay aside my preferences. I want to be an eyeball, but I know, God, you've made me a hand. So I'll just be the hand that you've created me to be. Why? Because it's for your glory. And maybe, just maybe, if enough of us do that, we can change this city, this state, and this nation, and this world for Jesus. Our last scripture. It's a big one, so bear with me. It's not on the slide, so you guys don't worry about that. I changed it up just a little bit. But it's in Ephesians 4. It's Ephesians 4:1. And Paul's writing, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And that's a great sentiment. That's a great thought to this morning. Will we live a life worthy of the calling in Christ Jesus that we received? Be completely humble and gentle. Completely. Not a little bit. Completely. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you know, in true love, especially in the church, love is not we can just get all people that like each other and really get along, but love is saying, no. You kind of rub me the wrong way sometimes, but because I love you and have the love of Jesus and we're on mission together, I can be patient, and in humility, I can put your needs above my own.
Amen.
Make every effort. Verse 3, make every effort, not some effort, not effort on Sunday morning from 11 to 12:30. It says make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. For to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. All right, skipping to verse 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of the ministry, so that the body of Christ, that's us, may be built up until we reach what? Unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is Paul. He's saying very similarly what he said in 1 Corinthians. Now it's to the church in Ephesians. He's saying God has given us one call, one Spirit, one hope, one salvation, one baptism. There's one Father. There's one Spirit. And because we have one, that it's one, it's Jesus, it's not me, it's not you, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Because there's one, we can be humble. We can be patient. We need to make every effort out of love as the body of Christ until we attain maturity as a church. All right. Just good?
Yes.
This is convicting me. All right, we're going to close now, and we're going to open up for some prayer. There's some of you that maybe this is your first time here, and we're glad you're here, and you know this was an interesting sermon, I'm sure, to be your first one at, but there's some of you that God has called to be a part of this body, and you've been fighting it, or you've been being a part of this body on your own terms. You haven't really dived in to being the eye or the ear or the hand or the foot that God has called you to be. Maybe you say, I'll be a hand, but I'll be a hand when I want to be a hand, on my terms, on my conditions, when I feel good, when I feel right. And God is saying, no, I've not called you to follow me just one-on-one. I've called you into a body. A better way I like to think of it is a family. God's called us to be a family, right? And sometimes our family, we're missing pieces. I know whenever we have family lunch or family dinner, when one of us is not there, we notice someone's missing. And today, some of us have to come home and say, okay, I'm ready to be identified by God, not myself, not my weaknesses, not my past hurts, not what my friends think, but I'm willing to be what God has called me to be in this body. I'm willing to accept the mission that Jesus has called me to, right? And that's one call. There's another call. I want to pray for this too. There's some of us that have been really hurt. We've been to a church of elbows and they want us to be an elbow. We've tried to be an elbow, but we just can't. We're not an elbow, right? And some of us have been really, really hurt by people, by pastors, by churches. I want to pray for you too, because I think the Lord wants to heal you up, to put you in the perfect body so that you can be whatever God's called you to be. All right? So those are two prayers we're going to pray. So the first one we're going to pray, and then the second one, okay? So if you identify with this just in your heart, I want you to pray this out. And then afterward, please come see someone on our prayer team. We'd love to pray with you, okay? So let's close our eyes and bow our head. Lord, if there's anyone out here, Father, that you have been calling into the body, into this body or a different body, Lord, any of the churches, and Lord, that they've been resisting you, I pray that you would soften their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to repent and say, God, I want to be a part of the body that you've called me to be. I want to play the role that you've called me to play. I don't want to sit on the sideline. I don't want to misidentify myself. I don't want to let anything keep me out of the game. I want to be what you've called me to be. And if that's you in your heart, I just want you to repeat after me in your heart and just say, Jesus, I'm so sorry for putting my thoughts above your thoughts, for not being what you've called me to be. And Lord, today I commit my life to not just serving you, but being part of the local body, and with patience and humility, making every effort to love until we become mature in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, the second group, if you have church hurt, if you've been misidentified, if you feel like, I don't even know what my identity is, if you just have hurt here about roles and functions and identity within the church, I want to pray for you. Lord, you see all these beautiful people, these wonderful people. Father, I pray right now that you would go into their hearts and you would completely heal them. Father, that you would minister to them how essential they are, how much you value them, how much you have a place for them, Lord, that you have a function and a role and a responsibility for every person in this room. And Lord, I pray that you would give everyone the power to forgive those that have misidentified them or have spoken badly about them, Lord, or have been wolves to them. Lord, I pray that you would give them the power to forgive. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to open up to prayer. If you need prayer, stay as long as you need. If you really enjoyed this or enjoyed it just a little bit and you want to know more, please go and see Rena in the back and bring your connection card, talk to her, join a small group. But we have our next step, so there's really four things you can do. The first thing is you can sign up to go to a one-to-one class. That's the foundation. Now, the body of Christ, we do have different roles and responsibilities, but we all have the same foundation, which is Jesus. That's why if you're going to be a part of this body, you must go to the one-to-one class and go through new members, because you have to be on the same foundation as us. Okay, the second is membership class. That's coming up soon. And then the third one is servant leadership. Maybe you are a member. Maybe you've been through the one-to-one, but you don't know what your role and your function is yet, but you have a heart to serve. Come see us. Come see our staff. We need your help. We need your help. So please come see us. We would love to put you in the gifting and the role that the Lord has called you to. All right, I'm going to pray one more time and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for this great church. Thank you for every person in here. I pray that you would bless them. You'd be with them, Father, that as they go out this week, you would inspire them, you would encourage them, and you draw them closer to you. Lord, I pray for financial blessings, emotional blessings, relational blessings, and Father, most of all, intimacy with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you very much.